organizations, nonprofits, even, you know, just our general nonprofit organizations, the 501c3s that can accept charitable giving. It behooves them to say, is there something in my policies? Is there something in my paperwork that will keep someone from coming to me? Mm-hmm. You know, what barriers are in place? Remove those barriers. Mm-hmm. Find ways to make yourself accessible, because we all have the potential. And we've just learned one startling fact about one racial area. So imagine what we'll find out when we start digging deeper, which is the rest of the reason for this, of us bringing the Soul of Philanthropy here, was to find out the rest of the story.
I just feel like this could be an hour of just really juicy tidbits about that. We're almost out of time. So I want to make sure people know where to find this awesome exhibit. So it opened in January, January 20th. It's running through March 31st. It's at Concordia University and the George R. White Library and Learning Center. That's 2800 Northeast Liberty Street. It's a free and open to the public.
Absolutely.
I'm going to close with a really quick question.
Yes.
Do you have any philanthropic luminaries?
Wow. I would have to say it all begins with my mother. She taught me what I know. And from that, as I try to reach back in to figure out where it all began, it began with her. So awesome. She is my luminary because she paved the way.
Rock on. Rock on.
Thank you so much.
For the mothers.
For the mothers.
Well, this is Zelos Marchant. We've got Carol Tatch here, MRG. Definitely check out this exhibit. You will be very sad if you don't. And get on with that beautiful pathway of civic introspection.
Thank you, KBOO listeners. You are listening to KBOO Portland. My name is Tave Fache Drake, and I'm reminding you that this is a very special event today. We have 24 hours of all women's programming. The day will include discussions on transfeminism versus TERF trans exclusionary radical feminism. So we've got some of that coming up next. Earlier, you heard about human trafficking. We have the general women's strike, information on that. Female musicians, vocalists. From noon to four, we have all sorts of jazz. And if anybody has listened to anything this morning and they would like a recap of it, or would like to hear again, or would like to have their friends or family listen to it, please go online to kboo.fm and look down the program list, and you will be able to stream and or download programming there. So if you'd like my piece on feminism with the millennials, it's under the politics of living, as well as all of the other programming on that. That was the 9 a.m. slot. We had the 10 a.m. slot on human trafficking. Then our wonderful thing here just now with Zelos, and that was the 11 o'clock programming. And then coming up next, trans. And that will all be available a little later today. Please stay tuned. And also, I'd like to just mention that we have had this programming made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Skyline Tavern Project. They're a not-for-profit historic saloon at the edge of Forest Park. They're dedicated to supporting art and ecology through live music, food, and horseshoes. 8031 Northwest Skyline Boulevard and skytav.com.
Good morning. Happy Women's Day. Happy Women's Day. This is Transpositive. I'm Emma Lugo, and I'm here with Jean Bryant.
Hello.
And with Carol.
Lanceman. Hello.
Carol Lanceman. Could you get a little closer to the mic? Thanks, Carol. So happy Women's Day. We are here today celebrating women and women's lives. And here today, we are also celebrating trans women's lives. Because trans women are also part of celebrating women's lives. And so today we're going to be having a conversation with Carol and with Jean. And then in a little while, we'll also be joined by Andrea, who was on our show last night, and we're going to be talking about trans feminism. We're also going to be talking about trans-exclusive radical feminism and just, you know, the whole issue of how can we as trans women support the broader women's movement? How can women support trans women specifically? And if there's ever any spaces where there's uncomfortableness between the trans women's community and other women, for instance, radical feminists, we want to like open up some space here today for that conversation in case people want to ask us questions or have a conversation. So in addition to that, if people want to give us a call, you can call us at 503-231-8187. We'd love to have a conversation with you today about, you know, if you have any questions, if you've ever wanted to ask a trans woman a question, this is a great time to do it. If you have questions or concerns and you'd like to have a discussion about, you know, how can trans women support the women's, you know, women's liberation and how can women support trans women, this is a great time for the conversation. We'll be here until noon. So let's get started. I would just like to have everybody go around and maybe tell a little bit about their story first. Maybe just a little bit. Who are you? How did you get here to the show today? And what are your concerns? Who would like to start?
Oh, I'll start.
Great.
This is Carol Landsman. And driving over here today, I was trying to figure out if I was a radical feminist or not, because I'm not sure whether patriarchy or capitalism is the major contradiction. I suspect that it's glummed somewhere in the middle. Now, I'm here today because Emma and I were marching together in the Women's March under a sign in solidarity with the women of occupied Palestine. And we were talking a little about how the left eats its children. And I, as a radical feminist, have gotten hate mail from both sides. So that must mean something. I was run off a radical feminist website, Facebook page, and I also have gotten hate mail from liberal, I don't know what to call them, liberal feminists. I'm certainly happy to call any person any pronoun that they wish to be called. Yeah. I don't want to be called cis, though.
And I totally respect that, and so I will not call you that. And I'm here today because I wanted to have this conversation. The conversation kind of started when Chelsea Manning was in the news. Chelsea Manning, who is in prison still in Kansas until May for WikiLeaks, for releasing wiki documents about the war in Afghanistan, and has served 8 years in federal prison, and at the beginning of her sentence changed her gender identity to Chelsea and came out in prison. And so we were having this conversation on this Facebook page, and a lot of the people on the Facebook page, there were a lot of trans women. There were a lot of people who were calling Chelsea a man, which is really offensive for trans women to call a trans woman a man. And also saying things that, for me personally, were so hateful towards trans women in this discussion about Chelsea Manning that I had to leave the page because I just couldn't have that conversation. But I know that there's space in the community where people have differences and where there is, you know, but there's also room. I'm Jewish, and I know that like within my tradition, within my cultural tradition, there's room for conversation and for disagreement. And so Carol and I, who are both members of Jewish Voice for Peace, were able to continue this conversation about these issues and how can we find alliance and how can we be supportive. And, you know, I definitely consider Carol to be someone who supports trans women, but also who has some connections within the radical feminist community, which doesn't always support trans women. So, you know, I think that it's good to have those people in between so that we can navigate spaces that are culturally sensitive and how we can be able to listen to each other and figure out how to support each other. So, Jean, what's your story?
Well, my story is pretty simple, honestly. I am a trans woman. I'm an older trans woman. I will absolutely cop to the fact that my opinions were and my sense was formed a couple of decades ago, and I tend to be somewhat steeped in a binary, you know, point of view. So I'll just admit to that up front. But the reason that I'm here today and I wanted to participate in this conversation is I am a self-avowed communist.
Communist.
Most of my stuff I do under the hashtag solidarity. I believe that solidarity does not equate to erasure, and that times have changed. We are faced with a new challenge, and the identity politics of the past several decades do not serve us well. We have to find commonality. We have to build solid coalition, or we are toast. Yes. And so we have to find these commonalities. We have to rise all boats. We have to find a sisterhood here that can work for us all. And that's why I'm here.
Great. Well, thank you. Did we have a call? Great. Okay, let's go to our first caller. Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, this is Andrea Haverkamp. I'm joining the discussion.
Hi, Andrea. Great.
Hi. I'm doing well.
Oh, great. Thank you. Andrea, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. My name is Andrea Haverkamp. I'm a PhD student at Oregon State University in Corvallis, Oregon, where I study the confluence of various identities within the Queer Studies Department and within the Engineering Department. I study the way in which these identities clash, collide, sever, form together, and I also study structural systems of oppression frameworks within feminist theory and queer theory. I guess I have been deeply involved within activist communities, environmental activist communities, labor union communities, and also trans and queer communities for about since I was able to. So,
great. So let's go to our first. I have a question that I'd like everybody to discuss if they feel comfortable. So my first question is, how can the trans women's community support women's liberation generally? And the flip side of that is, how can women support trans women?
One of the major concerns of the radical feminist community is that trans women are trying to erase women from the world. So, for example, no longer are you a pregnant woman, you are a pregnant person. You no longer breastfeed, you chest feed. And there's a great deal of concern that will lead to the concept of woman getting more and more diluted or erased. I don't think that all trans women feel that way, but again, that's one of the problems.
Yeah, I think that's, and thank you. And Carol, I really want to thank you for having the courage to come down here today and have this conversation with us, because I know this is kind of tricky space to have a conversation. So thank you.
But we have to start somewhere.
I would love to add to that if I could. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely hear what you're saying. And I guess it kind of supposes with the definition of what a woman is that you're starting out with and who you're representing and fighting for. It's not just trans women. There are transgender men who give birth. There are non-binary. There are two-spirit folk from indigenous communities, from South Asia, from communities across Africa, from folks whose land this is on, of which we came here and eradicated, and whose cultures we've erased. So it's about broadening the women's movement to include people of color, Black women, disabled women, trans women, and to create a feminist liberatory movement that includes transgender men, non-binary individuals, and is just a more cohesive and collective form of unity against systems of oppression and power which dominate.
A wonderful goal, but how do we do that when we alienate perhaps even a significant portion of the group we're trying to form coalition with? How do we do that?
I mean, I think that's a fair question. I think we have to ask ourselves, though, how... I mean, I'm not sure that... So there's a couple of... There's, I mean, for me personally, I see a couple...
Excuse me, but there's right, there's wrong, and then there's reality.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I feel like... I mean, I think that part of this is kind of a generational discussion, I have to admit. I mean, I really think, you know, we're kind of like... At least those of us who are here in the room are of a little bit older generation. And there's... And there's the younger generation that's coming along that is kind of developing. I mean, each generation kind of works through its own issues and kind of, you know, negotiates what this means, what gender means.
But don't you think that there's a difference between sex and gender, so that our gender roles are societal? Sex isn't. Now, as I mentioned before, I do believe, although I'm not an expert, that there's a section of our population who are missexed. I don't know what the appropriate word is. But I think that many other younger people are confusing gender with sex, so that the days that I want to wear my hobnail boots and work on my motorcycle doesn't make me any less a woman than the days where I want to have a pedicure. Mm-hmm. These are
it
just,
absolutely does not. You're right.
Right. These are just societal roles. However, I think that there are some people who are getting confused and think that the societal roles are sex.
Right. So I'd have to ask you, Carol, just to help us with terminology. So for me personally, when I think about concepts like gender identity and sexual orientation, those are kind of words that I'm more familiar with using. And you use the word gender and sex. And when I hear the word sex, I just think of people having sex. So could you tell me what you mean by gender and sex?
Okay, my sex is female because I have female organs. Mm-hmm. What my gender is varies day to day. I mean, you know, I could have danced all night in a pretty dress, or I could be out in the backyard mucking around, and right. Society pins a title on those things.
Okay.
If a 7-year-old boy wants to wear a beautiful dress,
right.
That's a 7-year-old boy wearing a beautiful dress.
Right. I hear guess, that.
Go ahead, Andrea. Can I follow up on that?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, so I had a visceral reaction when you labeled body parts as female, because there are transgender men. There are non-binary people of indigenous descent, African descent, South Asian descent, who do not attach those to a gender such as female. You know, I think it does a great disservice to transgender men to call it that. And I think what you were talking about was intersex individuals. About 3-5% of our population has intersex conditions, such as chromosomes that are not XX or XY, such as a mix of genitalia that are commonly, as you mentioned, gendered one way or the other, such as having having a vulva but no uterus. Right. That is possible, and it happens at a frequency equivalent to those of us with red hair. We don't say that people with red hair don't exist because they're a small population, so we must include this 3-5% of our population into our feminism, or else we do them a disservice. Same with about 1% of the population that's trans. It's not insignificant.
So, I think this is a good conversation, though. This is a really good conversation, because I think that there's space that trans women and rad femmes and women generally haven't really negotiated. And part of that, I mean, I have to admit, Carol, that, you know, it's like part of the reason that trans women push forward the way that we do is because we know that we have to use the law in order to protect ourselves. I mean, when I go into a bathroom, I need to know that I'm safe. I need to know that I have a right to be there, that I'm not going to get arrested. And it's like being able to use the bathroom is like one of the most basic things that a person needs to be able to do. And there's still a lot of, I mean, right now trans women are getting this huge backlash by the person who I will not name, by that person's administration. And a lot of it's hatred. And it's not the same kind of discussion as a discussion that we would have within like the trans women and the rad femme community. It's a, you know, we're both targets of them, but it's still like trans women really have to push forward to protect ourselves. But at the same time, we also want to really support women's liberation generally. So like, you know, we care about reproductive rights for all women. You know, we care about domestic violence against all women. We care that women of color, you know, are paid less, get less opportunities. You know, we care.
Get convicted of murder.
Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's like the whole issue of like women's liberation. And again, that's also kind of a political spectrum argument too. There's not all trans women, unfortunately, occupy that space. For instance, one of the most, you know, apparent trans women in the last couple of years has been Caitlyn Jenner, who is just, I mean, within the trans women's community, there's a lot of women that just can't stand her. And she doesn't speak for me, and she doesn't speak for a lot of us. But there are, you know, right-wing trans women. And unfortunately, we, you know, those of us who are on the left can't do anything about them. But, you know, I mean, regardless of where we... let's take a break, Jean, and then we'll get to that. Okay, let's just take it. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back for the last 10 minutes of this conversation.
Can I talk?
Yeah.
You come and go. I gotta keep bringing it back.
You're still on the line if you want to stay on.
Hi, oops. And we are back. Again, if you'd like to give us a call, our number is 503-231-8187. We're here in studio today with Carol, Jean, Andrea on the phone, and myself, Emma. We're having a conversation. It's kind of an intersectional conversation about trans women, the radical feminist community, women's liberation generally, and how can we kind of be supportive and at the same time acknowledge that there's still a lot of cultural space that we need to negotiate. Jean, you were going to say something.
Yeah, but I forgot what it was. So, you know, if I may, I'm going to launch into a little bit of a metaphoric imagery here. When I think about what we're faced with right now, you know, is building coalition to address more immediate needs. We keep tripping over trying to solve the big picture when we have more tactical priorities right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I keep envisioning the Yalta Conference, you know, Roosevelt and Churchill and Stalin sitting together, you know, despite all of the differences that that represented, okay? Mm-hmm. But they came together and they held together a coalition and an allyship to meet some immediate needs.
Mm-hmm.
That's the level that we have to acknowledge. Mm-hmm. We have to stop thinking about our distinctions and start thinking about our commonalities, and setting some of these things aside, not permanently, but at least to the level that allows us to recognize that we need to band together or we're going to lose. It's that simple.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's part of why, like, when Carol and I marched together in the Women's March, I mean, we marched for the women of occupied Palestine, which was, you know, something that we're both really concerned about. But there were lots of trans women there. I mean, yeah, I know you were there that day too, Jean. Andrea, were you involved in the Women's March?
I was an hour and a half south, so we had some activities in Corvallis that we participated in.
Yeah. So, Andrea, how do you think we can kind of bridge the gaps between our communities? What can we do to move forward and be kind of more supportive?
I guess building on the Stonewall movement and building on a lot of the Black liberatory movement, it's focusing on who is being hurt the most in our communities right now and deeply listening. Now, I've never heard a trans woman say, we want to erase women, we're trying to erase women, we're fighting against women. So So listen to the words coming out of trans women's mouth, and then also treating hostile and you know, making sure it's not a room filled with hate and that we're listening to some of the most vulnerable people. 9 trans women, one of which is actually a two-spirit indigenous woman, have been killed so far this year in hate crimes. So I think first is all of us together as feminists who want a society where hate crimes don't exist to find solidarity and love and compassion for those who are experiencing tremendous levels of violence and put an end to that and then work our way up. Because when we work from our most vulnerable populations up, those in prison, those in sex work and sex trafficking especially, we help all women.
Yeah, that's a really great point. Thank you for sharing that. So we've only got about 5 minutes left in this conversation, but I really hope that, you know, as you listen to the Women's Day programming today, that you will consider this particular part of the whole conversation. It's only a small part of women's liberation generally, but for trans women, it's really important. I mean, trans women, we feel, I'm just speaking for myself, so, but I would say that as a trans woman, I feel like everything that I've had to do in my life in order to just prove that I'm a woman has been like, you know, an act in opposition to every message that I get from my culture. I mean, from the time that I was born, I was told that I'm not who I feel I am. And I mean, I feel very blessed and very lucky to live in Oregon because I live in a state where my gender identity is recognized and where I feel safe. But of course, I also have white privilege. So, you know, there's plenty. We, like Andrea was just saying, we had a vigil last night for trans women of color who have been murdered just in the last 3 months. So, you know, but still, it's a struggle. It's a struggle for trans women just to be able to get to the point where we're acknowledged and respected as women. And, you know, honestly, our culture isn't even there yet. I mean, we have some legal rights.
That's right. The culture is not there. Mm-hmm. And the overarching issue that there isn't a feminist, any femme-identifying individual, doesn't matter, or even masculine-identifying individuals who it's misogyny. Mm-hmm. The misogyny is so thoroughly ingrained in our culture. That is the commonality. That's the overarching issue that we all face. We all have to link arms against this and deal with it. It doesn't matter, you know, what other identities we have underneath that umbrella.
Right. Yeah. And Carol, so from your perspective as someone who's supportive of trans women, but also like is within communication within rad femme spaces, do you see any progress? Do you see any room for, you know, improvement in our communication between our communities? Or is this just one of those things that's just going to play out however it plays out?
I'm not hopeful. As I was sitting here, I was thinking, and this, I think I've told you about this, at the University of Arizona, I believe, a group of women wanted to have an art show celebrating the vulva.
Yeah.
Georgia O'Keeffe, you know, whatever. Anyhow, a group of trans women disrupted the event and went to the university and said this is discriminatory.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was the issue. I mean, there was in Vancouver, there was the Vancouver Women's Library, which, you know, I support the women who did that because the thing
Who did what?
I support the women who disrupted it. I do, because they were, you know, there was trans exclusive radical feminists that were included within the library, a sex worker exclusive radical feminists that were included within the library, and trans women's voices were not uplifted and seen as like part of the movement. But, you know, at the same time, okay, yeah, I know. I hear you. Go ahead. I want to give you a voice too. This is,
well,
we really have to.
I mean,
space
we,
for
we
each
hardly
other.
Have enough time.
We
for this.
Hardly do.
I disagree with you. Yeah. I think that this group of women got together to start a library of books they chose. I don't know enough to say. I mean, not everything has to include everybody.
Thank you. Yes.
But if
Thank
it's,
you.
Right. But if Perfect it's a woman, but if it's a women's library, then it does need to.
No, it doesn't.
Okay. Okay, well.
Okay, so that's... I guess we could ignore immigrant women, black women. You know, we can leave out any group. I guess one point I would like to make is that what is so common in hateful rhetoric against immigrants in society right now, against Muslims in society right now, many of whom are women, many of whom are trans women, queer women, sex workers, is that individual events does not justify violence against a whole group. So taking a single event, which I think is kind of misinterpreted, but that event with that art show does not justify hateful or exclusionary rhetoric against an entire diverse group of women.
How do you get all the way to that? How do you get all the way to that?
Okay, I'm sorry. We're going to have to like bring this back to some peaceful space. We're really going to have to. I'm sorry. I totally hear everybody here. There's a lot of room for us to continue this conversation. We'll have to continue it out in the community. I just want to thank everyone who is here today because we're just about out of time. Does anybody have any last words they'd like to share?
Still love you dearly, Andra.
Yeah.
I love you all. And I think that listening to each other and then also critically thinking about whether our messages are helping more people have access to education, jobs, and healthcare, or whether our words and actions are limiting other women and using power over instead of power with. I think the more we use power with against, as was mentioned, forces of misogyny and patriarchy, the more we work with, the better we'll all be.
I totally agree with that. Andrea, where can people find your work or find you?
Yeah, I guess if you type in Andrea Queer Studies Oregon State, I will pop up in your Google results, and that's a little easier than me giving out an email address over the phone. So Andrea Queer Studies Oregon State.
Great. And if you, Carol, do you want to share? Okay. So if you want to find us at Transpositive, we're at transpositive.wordpress.com. And we're also on here on KBOO on the first Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. Thank you so much for joining us. Carol, thank you very much. I really appreciate
thank you for having,
having
me.
The courage to come in. And Andrea, I really appreciate you having the courage to come in. And Jean, thank you for being here.
Yay.
Thank you, everyone. Happy Women's Day.
Happy Women's Day.
Happy International Women's Day.
International Women's Day. Yes. International Women's Day.
Thank you. Thank you.